I'm just doing a little trivia quiz with you. Do you know these folks? Anybody acquainted with anybody on this screen? You should. They've been here for a long time. Do you see Eddie Burns? He's been drinking from the fountain of youth because he hasn't changed. Still the same. Still the same. How many of you have ever played tennis with Eddie Burns? Anybody here? Would you recommend that I, who has a bad foot anyway, that I should try him? Yeah, I don't think so. How about Lola Mae? Is Lola Mae a part of this congregation? Is this Lola Mae? Oh, why, sure it is. Yeah. Yeah, how about myself? Now, the parents are Dwayne and Muriel, aren't they? Am I doing something wrong here? Yeah, the parents of Eddie and Lola Mae are there, and my mother's there with a scarf wrapped around her hair. We were just coming from Ainsworth Hot Springs. We're on the Main Lake Ferry over the Kootenai Lake up near Nelson, British Columbia. If you think I speak a little strange, it's because I speak fluent Canadianese. I'm bilingual. I speak American and Canadian, eh? Okay, that's a little better. Yeah, that's good. Well, 2 weeks from today is a very special day. It's the only Sabbath at camp meeting down at Spangle, Washington. I hope many of you plan on being there. My wife and I plan on being there as well. And it's a special, it's extra special for Gloria and I, because 50 years ago, 2 weeks from today, we'll celebrate. June 23rd, 1968, we were married. And I just wanted to give credit to my wife. She took me when I was very young and trained me. And here I am today. And she's my computer whiz. I am not a whiz at computers at all. I've pastored for 40 years before retiring 5 years ago, and I won't tell you my age, but I've been retired for 5 years, and I've preached for 40 years, and a few years back, a fellow by the name of David Axford provided me with hearing aids down in Yakima, and as I spoke with Matthew Axford, I asked him, is this your dad? Yeah, his dad, and I asked him, are you enjoying ministry? He says, very much. So I take my invisible hat off to this congregation for taking good care of Matthew Axford. His dad took good care of me and gave me the ability to hear somewhat, and so I'm thankful for that. I call this my icebreaker time, but it's really time for my brain to start warming up to what I need to be doing here. So anyway, here we go. The joy factor. It was supposed to be, that's why they call it amazing, but sermons don't come as fast as they used to for me, and so on Wednesday I thought it would be that's why they call it amazing, but today it's the joy factor. I have a concern, I have a burden. I mean, let me describe it this way. The family went from the city out into the country to visit the farm, and the little child was looking at all, in amazement at all the farm creatures, the cows and the horses and the chickens and the pigs and the dogs, and she came across one. She said to her, turned to her daddy and says, this one must be a Christian. Well, why would you say that? This was the donkey. Well, its face is so long. Sometimes we as Christians have a problem with happiness. And I think that's one of our biggest challenges. So as we start off on our joy factor journey today, we're going to look at some of the factors that take away joy, and then we're going to end with factors that build up joy. Billy Sunday, a preacher of old, says, if you have no joy in your religion, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Is this so? Billy Sunday thought so. This is a fellow who's a Christian psychologist. He says that happiness is a habit of the mind. And I happen to agree with Archibald Hart, and I think he's a very wonderful Christian counselor. Dale Carnegie says, feeling sorry for yourself and your present condition is not only a waste of energy, but the worst habit you could possibly have. Elton Trueblood goes and says this. He says, "I don't trust the theology of any person who doesn't laugh." Do you have trustworthy theology today? Maybe we should spend a moment and do some laughing. It isn't what you have or who you are or where you are or what you are doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It's what you think about, what you allow yourself to think about, Carnegie says. You recognize this happy face? He's a billionaire from Texas that wanted to be president of the United States. Ross Perot. Listen to what Perot says. "Guys, just remember, if you get lucky, if you make a lot of money, if you get out and buy a lot of stuff, it's going to break." Have anybody found that out yet?
Yeah.
How about the air conditioner here? Yeah. It's going to break. You got your biggest, fanciest mansion in the world. It has air conditioning. It's got a pool. Just think of all the pumps that are going to go out. Or go to a yacht basin. Any place in the world. Nobody is smiling, Perot says. And I'll tell you why. He speaks by personal experience, I'm sure. Something broke that morning. The generator's out. The microwave oven doesn't work. Things just don't mean happiness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
At my advanced age, we're trying to downsize. We have too many things. That's a serious part of our agenda this summer, especially. We're trying to simplify our life. I like what Frederick Buchner says. "To come together as people who believe that just maybe this gospel is actually true should be to come together like people who have just won the Irish sweepstakes." Can you imagine winning the Irish sweepstakes? All our problems solved, financial problems only. Might have a lot of money, but the other problems remain. We as Christians have a much better opportunity by laying hold of Jesus, our Savior and friend. Habakkuk, the prophet, he writes in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18, he says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The old Testament person that we love so much by the name of Job, he had all kinds of problems. I have Roger approaching me, so I know that he wants to make an adjustment. Okay, it's going to pick up better now. I can tell.
I'll put your earpiece back. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I should take the hearing aid out.
No, it's not.
No, it's okay. Problem is, my hearing aid is whistling, so I think it should come out. There. Okay, I'm not going to hear myself so well, so you're going to have to let me know how I'm doing. Anyway, I can't have a whistling hearing aid in my ear. Okay. So when all is said and done, Job, he lost everything. He even lost his friends. In just a day, his children, 10 children died. His wife eventually turned against him. His friends turned against him. Everything was gone. And Habakkuk says the same thing. Job said, "Though he slay me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue serving him." Am I speaking okay? Okay, my one hearing aid's doing the job. "I will joy in the God of my salvation." So when everything else is done, we still have the God who offers us salvation. We have a rescuer in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Where does joy come from? You remember these words in Luke chapter 2. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Aren't we happy today? We have a Savior in Jesus. No need to fear anymore because we have him. And then in Galatians 5, we read here about where joy comes from. says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Notice in this text that the word fruit is singular. So that means that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness are all the part of the same fruit. So if you don't have all the component parts, if you don't have the joy and the love, the fruit of the Spirit is missing. You don't have the Spirit. I just heard this week that Mr. Rogers, do you know who Mr. Rogers is from Mr. Dress-Up days? He says, I want you to remember three things. I want you to remember just three things, he told the children. Be kind, be kind, be kind. It's something like real estate, isn't it? Location, location, location. So can we remember that? What does Mr. Rogers want us here in Brewster today to remember?
Be kind.
Louder.
Be kind.
Be kind. Be kind. I challenge you, if you want to have the fruit of the Spirit, we need to have kindness. We need to have goodness, faithfulness, joy, and love. They're all components of the Holy Spirit. Joy busters, what are they? Jealousy. Jealousy can take away joy real quickly. What are some of the stories from the Bible about jealousy? Jacob and Esau, Joseph's coat of many colors, Rachel and Leah, Moses and Miriam, many stories about jealousy that destroy joy, make people unhappy. Bitterness. What about bitterness? Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17. Isaiah 38 verse 17. Here the prophet Isaiah writes, indeed it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. The pit of bitterness. Have you been there? Have you been bitter? It's not a good flavor in the mouth, is it? And it doesn't help for having joy and happiness. Bitterness takes it away. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, I read, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile many. Evil speaking. In James 3, verse 5, we read, how great a fire is set by such a small flame. In Proverbs 15, verse 4, I read, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The tongue has the ability to do powerful damage. It can really hurt. It's a great myth to say that sticks and stones break bones, but words don't hurt. They hurt a lot. Sometimes people say they have a slip of the tongue. I'm here to tell you that I don't think the tongue slips. Because when we open our mouth, our brain goes on parade. Sigmund Freud said that he described something as a Freudian slip, and I don't believe in that. I think we need to be very careful, and we need to turn over in our mind several times before we open our mouth and send our brain out on parade, because when we speak, that shows what's in our heart, because it's coming out of our mouth. Anger is a great destroyer of joy. You can't be joyful and angry simultaneously. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, there's a text here that will put a sudden stop to all divorce. Do not let the sun go down on your anger or on your wrath. Anger is a joy breaker. Unforgiveness. In Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other. Be kind to each other. Be tender-hearted. Forgive each other, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Write it down. It's an important part of being happy and having joy. Be kind to unkind people. There's no need to be their reflection. Did you get that? Be kind to unkind people. There's no need to be their reflection. They're coming after you. They got that look. They got their fire in their eyes. They're angry at you. Be kind to them. Be kind to unkind people. Why should we as Christians do otherwise? They're on the highway. They got this road rage going on. Be kind. What did Mr. Rogers say? The three things he wants us to remember? Be kind to unkind people. There was a baseball player, a famous person. He was a Boston Red Sox. Probably those of my age might remember the name. His name was Wade Boggs. Wade Boggs, when he went, he was the first baseman. He could really hit the ball. He was a great baseball player. But when he went into New York Stadium, Wade Boggs said, in the book about him, he says, there was a fan up there in the grandstands near first base that would holler at me. He would scream at me. He would say awful things about my mother. He would say I couldn't play baseball. He would say, go home, Boggs. We don't want you here in New York. We don't like you here. He was constantly doing that. Well, Boggs developed a strategy. He got out there for warm-up this one day in the New York Yankee Stadium there. The fan took his seat there and he started hollering insults at Wade. And Wade had a plan. He was going to be kind to unkind people. So he reached into his uniform, pulled out a brand new baseball, pulled out a pen and wrote down on the baseball a nice little greeting. He says, I hope you have a great day. Your friend, Wade Boggs, something to that effect. And then he pointed to the guy. He said, you the guy that's been shouting at me? The guy said, yeah, Boggs, what are you going to do about it? Well, Boggs took that baseball and he threw it gently up into the stands. The fellow caught it, looked at it, and saw, signed, your friend, Wade Boggs. Stopped it. Boggs says the guy never called insults to him anymore. Finished. Done. Be kind to unkind people. One doctor was sitting in his office one day and a lady was there and she says, you know, my husband and I were about ready to divorce. We have these awful arguments. The temperature just gets really hot. We get angry with each other. And the doctor gave her a prescription. He wrote it out on a piece of paper. Gave it to her. And he says, when this starts happening, when the temperature starts rising and your words get heated and angry, I want you to take a sip of water. I want you to take a large sip of water and hold it in your mouth. I want you to swish it around in your mouth for probably 5 minutes. And then you can either swallow it or spit it out. But I want you to hold it in your mouth for 5 minutes. Put a stop to it. She came back later and says, Doctor, that prescription you gave me for handling disagreements and arguments work perfectly. There's a lot of happiness in our home now. So remember the doctor's prescription. Offenses. I've been offended. I can't come to that church anymore. I can't do this or that. I've been offended. What does it say in Psalm 119? Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble or be offended. Fear. I love 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Some of my favorite verses are here in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Remember this text, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he deliver those who have lived all their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Slaves to the fear of dying. There's a lady named Florence. I believe she served for 3 years as a nurse in the Crimean War in Europe. And Florence would go around and she'd minister to the dying men after a battle out there in the battlefield. She would give them water to drink. She would comfort them, bandage their wounds. Excuse me. And Florence, at the age of 35, I believe it was, she announced to her friends that she was close to death herself. And so Florence went to her bed to prepare to die. She died many years later at the age of 91. She was thinking she would die much earlier. And Jesus took on human flesh so he could die. That's why he came to earth. That's why he became man, so he could die, so that we don't have to live in the fear of death. Take away that fear. Fear is a great joy buster. Disobedience. You know King David's story. It's a case study in losing joy. Excuse me. He says in Psalm 51, verse 7, "Purify me from my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me." So David was very unhappy with the effect of his sin. Remember what he did? Adultery, murder, lying, cover-ups, dishonesty. He was not happy. All of his joy had been destroyed, and so he wanted his joy back, and he said, "This is how it's going to be. Create in me a clean heart." The Paul and Silas story is a wonderful story of saving joy. In Acts 16, verses 16 to 24, we'll quickly look at the text. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Turn with me there. You know the story. Acts 16, verse 16. In Acts 16, verse 16. Oh boy. It's not Romans 16, it's Acts 16. In Acts 16, verse 16, I read these words. "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." The Greek word for divination here is Puthon. And the word Puthon is a form of the word Python, the snake. Vine's dictionary explains how Greek mythology believed the Pythian spirit guarded the Oracle of Delphi until Apollo slew it and then took on the name Pythian. The word was later applied to diviners or soothsayers inspired by Apollo. And so we know it as the Python today. Do you know what's happening down there in the Everglades in Florida? Even in the people's swimming pools that live near the Everglades, I suppose the pythons like the water and are swimming around there. And so the hurricanes would come through, the storms would come through, the people would have their snakes out in the backyard in some kind of an enclosure, but these storms would blow trees down, crash, break down the walls to these snake grottos or whatever they're called, and the snakes would go slithering away, and then they'd get together and produce eggs. And now if you go into the Everglades, there's not much for little deer or rabbits or raccoons or whatever used to populate the Everglades because these guys are eating them, swallowing them whole. They even take on the alligators and whatever else they have down there. Well, the Apostle Paul and his partner Silas were bound in prison. They were in bad shape. They were beaten. But what were they doing? They were praying, Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. They were praying and they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The Pythian spirit, the spirit of divination, had led to their being imprisoned because of the story, and you can read the story later. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Prayer and singing. Praying and singing. Confession of sin. David, Nathan had to go to David and explain to him the story. He told a wonderful parable that pricked David's conscience and says, I'm the man. He had to confess his sin. After confession of sin, there is joy. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Praise. See if you agree with this. Perhaps once in 100 years a person may be ruined by excessive praise, but surely once every minute someone dies inside for lack of it. Do you like that statement? I like what God said when Jesus was baptized. What did God, the voice of God was heard when Jesus was baptized, when the white dove landed on his shoulder. What did God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said that twice, and it empowered Jesus both times. Those words of encouragement from God, his Father. I like what it says in Proverbs chapter 36, where it says that, you know the story of the P36 woman, Proverbs chapter 36, it says, the husband praises his wife, and the children rise up and call her blessed as well. Praise is a powerful developer of joy. If you don't have joy in your life, try praising more. Praise the people in the grocery store. Praise everyone you can possibly praise. Perhaps once in 100 years a person may be ruined by excessive praise, but surely once every minute someone dies inside for lack of it. Cecil Osborne. Prayer. We've got to pray. Sing and smile and pray. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. And what kind of joy are they going to have?
Everlasting.
Everlasting joy. You know, if we found somebody in our community that had everlasting joy, we would quickly call 911. And the ambulance would come with a straight jacket, and they would wrap him up and take him off to the hospital. It's not good to be too happy on planet Earth. Not good. It's not a good symptom. We wouldn't even know how to act or what to think if we had everlasting joy. Do you want everlasting joy?
Amen.
It's available. We can have some of the benefits of heaven right here on earth. Sorrow, they'll obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing, goodbye. They'll flee away. The old familiar story is told about the lady who was found out from her doctor that she was terminally ill. She didn't have long to live at all. The cancer was advanced. So she phoned her pastor up and says, Pastor, I need to talk with you. I just came back from the doctor's office and he informed me I should get my house in order. So I'm going to be dying here shortly, and I'd like to make some plans for the funeral service. The pastor came over quickly to this dear church member's house to find out what she had in mind, and so she gave him the topic that she wanted him to speak about, the text. She gave him her Bible to look at what she had underlined, and she said to him, after she talked about the hymn she wanted sung at her funeral service, she says, and make sure, Pastor, make sure that you tell the funeral director that I'd like to have a fork left in my hand there in the casket. I want a fork in my hand. And the pastor quizzed her. He says, well, nobody needs a fork when they're in a casket. Why do you want a fork? She explained to him that when people come by the casket, they're going to see a fork in my hand. And they're going to wonder why this sister is holding a fork in her hand. And she said to him, I want you to explain that the best is yet to come.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. Because when I went to the fellowship meals and they cleared them, the ladies would clear the plates away, sometimes they'd say, you need to keep your fork. And I knew that something real good was going to be offered for dessert. It wouldn't be Jell-O. It wouldn't be pudding. It wouldn't be anything that you couldn't eat with a fork. The things you eat with the fork are always the best. A great day is coming. Heaven's gates will open wide, and all who love the Lord will enter in. And joined with our loved ones who in Jesus Christ have died, our eternal life together will begin. And the Lord himself will greet us. Oh, what joy will fill that day when with the smile of the proudest father, he looks at us to say, welcome home, children. This is the place I've prepared for you. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for going to prepare a home for us in heaven that will have everlasting joy. No more bad days, no more depression, no more down in the dumps, no more bad reports from our doctors. Everlasting life with perfect health, with our perfect Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, may it be that each person worshiping you here today will lay claim to their citizenship in heaven, will lay claim to becoming brothers and sisters so that we can be together forever in your kingdom, where there will be no more sadness, sorrow, disappointment, dying, or suffering. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless each person. May we take time to pursue joy each day of our life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.